This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
It's my old friend's Morris Day and a Time. Two really good hits, I mean, big hits in the early 90s. When I say old friends, I mean, you know, we stay in regular contact, at least we did in 1994. And they had Jungle Love and The Bird.
Oh, both and awesome songs.
Well, I mean, Shakespearean in their lyrical content.
Come on, I love The Bird. Oh, wee-yo, wee-yo. That's Jungle Love.
I love The Time. 6:10 in the morning, Mayor Emanuel has released text messages from December in an effort to show that there is some transparency. The text messages are heavily redacted. Here's one. Good morning. Any updates I should know about? Yes, sir. Fatal police-involved shooting. Can you take a call or call me? And then whatever the response is redacted. Yes, for shooting officer, I will find out about partner. She was 55. Check out minister. Can be helpful. Yes, Barb West and Jimmy Jones have already made some calls. Good. And then more is redacted. Okay, well, I'm caught up.
Right. Don't you love that, though?
How is this?
You start to read it, you're right. And if you can see the visual, it's all blocked out like it's crime scene.
Yeah, and it, you know, I understand that you have to redact certain things, but if you're going to release this stuff, it needs to be something that can actually be read and understood. Here's another one. Sorry to bother you. Please be in touch with John E. about a fatal police shooting in 11. IPRA must be on the scene. Yes, am up to speed. Our call disconnected on my end. Just tried you. Media acting breathlessly? Question mark. Media on the scene. Roy issued a statement at the scene. Simple facts. Tribune alert hit just before 9. Well, if the mayor's concerned about Tribune alerts, let me tell you that there's been some problems in that area.
Big time, big time.
Where are we? West is doing outreach to minister. And this, by the way, is with more redacting of sentences. Investigation continues. We'll get media recap to you shortly. 911 calls. The Tribune has a story online. Has spoken to the families. We're staying with our CPD statement. 911 calls being reviewed. We'll continue to review. Nor the media planned at this time. I saw Tribune. Really obsessed with the Tribune. Everybody in the mayor's office, going back to old Mayor Daley, obsessed doesn't begin to describe, you know, how they feel about the Tribune.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the Tribune's thump is still considerable, but it's not what it once was because newspapers are, you know, in trouble.
I think they're worried about the Tribune beating them to the response.
Right.
Beating them to the
story. But good for the Tribune for still being in the mayor's office's collective heads over all of it. Let me give you one more because I know, like you, I'm learning a lot from these.
Well, no, wait, you say that tongue-in-cheek, but you're right, because most of his responses, if you go through, I mean, and there's 14 pages here, if you go through, his response is, okay, 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 great, okay, great, great, good call.
And a lot of it is really, you know, one of the problems we've had with Mayor Emanuel, and I don't know, Kev, I'd feel like we have a decent relationship with the mayor's office.
With the office, yeah, absolutely.
And the mayor's been on a handful of times, and we get along fine. Hell, he invited me to go swimming with him.
That is true, actually.
Having said that, this idea that the mayor is available is, you know, it's ridiculous. I mean, he'll do press conferences and press briefings, but he doesn't do one-on-ones, and he's always been treated fairly here, and he always would be. But the one thing that jumps out of these text messages is an obsession about the media coverage of it. And part of that is you know, there's nobody more savvy politically than Rahm because of all the experience he's had. But the one thing that jumps out of all of these texts is just references to media and where's the media coverage on these things. Here's another one. Where are we? The coverage continues to be focused largely on the incident and the calls for answers and justice and the family's anchor. The 9 and 10 p.m. news included more pointed criticism at you. This is from one of Rahm's people. I can't tell who it is. They're all abbreviations. We're doing check-ins with 24-hour networks, so they seem to be focused on storm damage around the country. So he's checking on his national image and his local image. Rahm says okay. Then the other person, is it Collins?
Yeah, it's Collins. I don't know.
That's Adam Collins.
Oh, that's Adam.
Oh, that's his guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, this makes sense then. He'd be talking about media to Adam Collins because Adam Collins is his media guy.
Yeah.
Worth noting, there were no more AMTV reporters on the story this morning. We're obviously monitoring closely. How was the Tribune in 30-day policy? It was positive and focused on how the move is a shift from blah, 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 blah. And then he asks about TV coverage. Adam Collins, I think, does a really good job.
I do, too. He's
in a
great,
really difficult position.
He's a great rep. Do we know why, though, so much is blocked out on what seems to be
pretty innocuous
innocuous response? Like when he says, I'm getting a lot of calls about my trip. Adam says the calls have been picked up quite a bit today. And then there's an entire section. It's probably about 2 inches that are just blacked out. I'm not quite sure what.
Maybe it's language. I don't know.
Maybe. But releasing this doesn't really provide a lot of transparency.
Here's another one. This is from the mayor. Just tell me where we are. Collins, same as before, weather dominant in coverage. ABC interviewed the family of Ms. Jones, who said they spoke to you, that you prayed with them, and it warmed their heart. And then the mayor's response is redacted. What could the mayor have said there that needs to be secured?
Maybe it is profanity. I don't know. I don't know why it would be blocked out. Unless he gives personal information about the family.
The Tribune did a request for information to get these texts, and these texts have been released. And the thing that you find to be true, and this has been the case with Hillary's emails, when you release a chunk, then people go, you didn't say anything. Where are the rest? So I think what the mayor's done here in trying to put this to bed is now he's going to be asked, where are the rest? What else are you going to release? I got to tell you, I don't think we're entitled to the mayor's text messages. The mayor's text messages to his staff and to his people are private. Just because he works for the city and works for the people, it's fine. Unless there is an active investigation of him that he's taking part in, or a criminal investigation of something that's gone wrong. So I don't know what the end to this is, but I think that by releasing these, and maybe he didn't have any choice. I mean, if he doesn't release them, then the Tribune can write a story about the mayor stalling us on releasing text messages. And then it looks like he's trying to hide something. So to that regard, it's a no-win situation.
No, I agree. Privacy is privacy, but unless he's hiding something.
But this seems to indicate, just by way of the redacting of big chunks of stuff, you go, well, what's he hiding? You
know what I'm saying? We don't know. I know.
So if there's an assumption that the mayor's hiding something, and now you're looking at text messages with blacked out text and blocks. Now you're going, well, see, he's hiding something.
Which proves, maybe.
Or proves that he's in a no-win situation. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not defending the mayor's position here. The mayor's got a lot to answer to in regards of how all of the past year and plus and how the police department's been handled. But I don't know what this does for anybody. Sheriff Tom Dart's got a lot of things to say about the governor after 7 o'clock. Jared Payton at 7:40 on his father on the 30th anniversary of the Bears Super Bowl win and on the Man of the Year Awards. And Dave Ennett all morning will play highlights from the WGN broadcast of that Super Bowl. Yeah. 6:22 every Tuesday and Thursday. Now we check in with Nick DiGilio. And good morning, Nick. How are you?
All right, buddy, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I miss seeing you in person, but,
I miss you too, my friend.
Here, get over here. Give me a hug. Get over here.
I'm hugging my phone right now.
All right, so the big storm over the weekend had to do something to the movie-going crowd. I know that they still managed to pull off some of the entertainment stuff in New York, and Saturday Night Live actually got on the air. But what about the National... Yeah, not great. But what about the National Box Office?
It took a big hit. It took a real big hit. The Revenant still came in at number one. It made $16 million. But at the rate it was going, it should have pulled in at least 20, 25 mil easily. The newer movies really took a hit. Of course, the fact that the new movies that came out this past weekend, the fact that they all suck, I think had something to do with the box office. But they still would have made more. Like Dirty Grandpa made $11.5 million. And that probably would have made 15, 16, 17 at least.
It depresses me that people went to that movie.
It depresses me that I went.
It's as bad as I think it is, right?
It's worse.
Yeah, okay.
It is stunningly, it's just a rancid film. Just awful.
And it makes no sense. Is De Niro out of money?
No, of course he's not out of money. And here's the insane thing, Steve. is that you could go to a multiplex right now this week. You could go into one theater and see De Niro take the check and embarrass himself like he's never done before. You could walk 2 feet over to a different theater and watch him give one of the best supporting performances of last year in the movie Joy.
Yeah.
It makes no sense whatsoever.
Same guy.
Same guy. I was looking at his credits after I sat through Dirty Grandpa. I was looking through his credits, and I looked through the past 16 years. So I went back to 2000. And with the exception of the work that he does with David O. Russell, which is consistently great, Silver Linings Playbook, American Hustle, Joy, and except for a really tremendous movie that about four people saw called Stone with him and Edward Norton and Mila Jovovich, which is a great film that no one has seen. Outside of that, it's really grim, man. And we're talking 16 years of films. Really grim.
How about that? How about that?
It's sad, man. It really is sad. Pacino is blowing them away at this point in terms of quality.
You know, it's absolutely true. So the Revenant, still at number one. Do we know if the horse in the movie that took one for the team is getting any sort of acting nominations?
No, but you want to hear my favorite joke about did I mention this joke to you guys? About, you know, the whole the Oscars so white controversy?
Oh, yeah. What is it?
Now, did you hear the joke that if the bear in the Revenant was a polar bear, he would have got nominated?
Yeah, that's very funny. That's one of the high points of the week. Yes, it is.
That's fantastic. I do want to mention this very quickly for all the controversy about the Oscars being so white. Everybody should go online and look up the clip from the Graham Norton TV show. Graham Norton does a talk show in England.
It's actually a very entertaining show.
It's a terrific show. Yeah. And Ice Cube and Kevin Hart were on to promote Ride Along too, and Graham Norton asked Ice Cube about his thoughts on the Academy Awards, and if you want to see the most thoughtful, the smartest, the sanest, and the funniest response from a black entertainer to a question about the Academy Awards, look up that footage and listen to what Ice Cube says, because it's right on the money. It's the best response that I've heard from anyone, black or white, about this controversy. So check it out online. It's Ice Cube on the Graham Norton show talking about the Oscars. It's great.
Didn't he essentially say, I didn't go before, why would I go now?
He said, you can't boycott something you never went to.
That was it.
And he said a lot more than that, but that was the crux of it. Really great stuff. Ice Cube summed it up. Ice Cube summed it up beautifully. But the East Coast Storms really did take a bite out of the box office. Like I said, most of the movies that came out this past week, The Boy, this terrible horror movie about a spooky doll that might be the spirit of a dead child. And I posted on my Facebook page after I saw it. I said, if you see the movie The Boy and you are surprised by the big twist in the last 15 minutes, congratulations on seeing your first movie ever.
Been done once or twice, has it? Just once or twice?
Times, yeah.
All right, last thing before I let you go. I don't know what to do with The Danish Girl. And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, it's a movie that I am conflicted on. We got to vote on the SAG Awards this week. And first off, I hope Eddie Redmayne eventually makes Porky's 4. The kid needs a comedy. The performance in that movie that knocked me out was the woman that plays his wife.
She's great. And you know what? She got nominated for supporting actress. It's a damn lead performance.
Yeah, I totally agree. Agree.
It's a lead. But, she has a better chance of possibly winning in the supporting actress category. Now, that's been going on for years, as you know, Steve. They politic because, in 1980, for instance, Timothy Hutton, clearly the lead in Ordinary People.
Yep.
No way he was going to beat De Niro in Raging Bull. By the way, De Niro, star of Dirty Grandpa, he was not going to beat him. So they campaigned, and he won for supporting actor, and that's right. The same thing that happened here.
If you haven't seen The Danish Girl, I don't know if I recommend it. I mean, I recommend it if you love great acting performances. It's just a very sad movie in so many ways, and there's not a lot of joy there. And it's got and rarely do I say this, but the score in the movie depressed me more.
I agree with you. I agree. I'm not crazy about it. I mean, I think the performances are good. It didn't do it for me. It actually reminded me a lot of the movie that Eddie Redmayne won last year for, The Theory of Everything, which was a really nicely acted, sort of bland, kind of depressing TV movie. which is how I felt about this one. My favorite quote, though, is from my friend Mike, who is an actor, and he too is loading up on these movies because he's in SAG and he's going to vote. And he texted me and said, "I just watched The Danish Girl. I don't like this Eddie Redmayne guy." And I texted him back and I said, "Why?" And he texted me back, "Because of his face."
Well, he's a very pretty girl. I will say that for him.
That was his whole criticism. Mike's a member of SAG. He's not going to vote for him because of his face. So
I just think Eddie Redmayne needs to do Dirty Grandpa 2. I don't know. He needs something in his life that's not so tough. All right, Nick, I'll talk to you later.
Sorry, buddy. Take care.
Nick DiGilio at Nick D Show. Follow him, Facebook, Twitter. Follow him home. We'll come back, get your big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
640, Kid of the Week time. Kid of the Week sponsored. Who's sponsored by, Kev?
Normally our friends at Chevy have done that in the past.
That's right. That's exactly
Ray
right.
Ray Chevy.
And there's an amazing young lady we're going to be talking about here, and we're going to talk to Mom. Mom is Denise. Abby is our Kid of the Week, but let's talk to Mom. Good morning, Mom.
Good morning.
How many kids do you have?
Just one, just Abby.
And she is the light of your life.
She is. She's a great girl.
The amazing thing is, and can I call you Denise?
Of course.
The amazing thing is, Denise, and I think you know this to be true, you don't really know how much you're missing in life until something tough comes your way. And
exactly.
I am sure, as most moms and dads who have a special needs child in any form in their family, you've learned 10 times from Abby what you've given back to her.
That's exactly the case. She's amazing. She teaches us so much, and she is beautiful on the outside, but even more beautiful on the inside. She never gives up, and she's just great.
One of the reasons we're talking to Mom is not because we don't love Mom, but because one of the things that Abby struggles with is speech. We'll get to that in a second. But before we talk about everything that goes on in her very busy life, talk about what some of the struggles are and when she was diagnosed.
When she was born, she had a 10-day NICU stay, but they didn't exactly know what was going on. So we went to lots of doctors, and at about the age of 3, she was diagnosed with cerebral palsy. And it affects her. She has a hard time walking independently, but she's very independent in her walker, and she does a lot of walking herself. She just kind of needs the walker for safety, and sometimes she struggles to say certain things.
Now, there's a million stories that you could tell me about Abby, but I read through some of the stuff that we have here about her, and I just want you to tell the story of the equine therapy and the Special Olympics event and this moment that felt like when the United States beat the Soviets in 1980, you could cut the tension with a knife as Abby was finishing one of her horse events. So talk about that for a second.
This year was the first year she rode independently. She's been riding since she was 3, but this year in the summer she started riding independently, which is huge because there were no sidewalkers, no one in front of her. It was just her and the horse, so they train a lot for the Special Olympics, and kind of at the last minute, maybe a couple months before, the woman who runs the program, who's great, asked if we wanted her to ride independently in the program because it's different, like it's a different class, knowing that it would be challenging. So I always leave everything up to Abby when it comes to that kind of stuff. So I asked her if she wanted to do it, and without hesitating, she said, "Yeah, sure." Like, that's kind of her attitude. "Yeah, sure, I'll do anything." So we practiced. It was close to the time of the event. So at the event, it was a trail event, so she was alone. Like, they watched you, and there's an arena full of people, and she had to go through a pattern, and she had to put, like, a ring on a cone and things like that. And her left hand is way more affected by the CP than her right hand. So she got in, and I was just watching her holding my breath. And at one point, she dropped her reins, and it took a while, and she had to work really hard, but she got that rein, got the horse moving, got moving again. And again, it kind of took a little while to get the ring and the cone, because the way the horse was, she had to use her left side, and
so she had to maneuver the horse close enough so she could
maneuver the horse close enough
so she could get the ring on the cone
and get the ring on the cone with the left hand holding the reins with the right side. And the horse is huge, and I've never even been on a horse, and she's a very petite little 10-year-old. So.
You're going to say, I can't even sit on a horse.
Exactly.
Well, that's the thing. Imagine
right?
This as a parent.
Yeah.
A parent of any able-bodied kid would be flipping out going, oh, I don't know if they can do this. I don't know if they can do this. I give you so much credit, Denise, for having the courage in your own kid to know that she can take on this challenge.
Yeah, she was great. I mean, it took a little while, and I just watched her the whole time just saying, you can do it, and she did it, and then when they give the awards, and she got a bronze medal, and then they walk out through the other side of the arena, and I was waiting for her, and she gave me the biggest hug, and before I could say anything, she said, I never gave up. And she did. I mean, that's totally her.
Oh, man. Unbelievable. Now, when you hear CP as a diagnosis, for those of us who don't deal with it, my understanding of CP is it's an umbrella term that can involve different symptoms for different people, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. It can affect just your finger, or you can be in a wheelchair your entire life. It varies completely.
But it sounds like in Abby's case, the best thing about what she has going for her is attitude, because she loves school, she loves her family, she loves her friends, she loves getting up in the morning and with Girl Scouts and the school choir and the Best Buddies Club. It almost sounds like you need to cut her back.
Yeah,
she's doing too much.
She loves everything. She's the happiest kid.
I think I look at her list. I mean, I've known you guys for a while, Denise. It's just amazing. And Abby's an amazing, amazing little girl. I look, though, at all of the things she does, and I feel terrible about my life because I usually just go home and sleep. Abby took a spin class. Did you, right, Denise?
Of course she did.
She took a spin class and won. She got a patch for Girl Scouts, right?
Yeah, they had a Girl Scout field trip last weekend, and it was spin class. And again, most adults don't necessarily even want to do that. I know I don't.
No, me neither.
I gave her the option because she rides a bike at home, but I gave her the option because it is kind of challenging, and she's like, yeah, I'll do it. And she slipped once and wasn't really happy about it, but she got back on, and by then she was standing up and going with the program, so it was pretty impressive.
She's inspirational, too, because I know you have her walking starting to try to walk on the treadmill. And you told a great story the other night about how long she was on the treadmill.
Yeah, she actually, we have a suspension system over our treadmill. So she's been doing it since she was little, but now she's too big for it. She's too tall for it. So she'll just occasionally will walk on the treadmill. I think it was kind of to avoid bedtime, but she was on for an hour and a half, 2 hours in. I saw her the next day because I had actually left. She was home with my husband, and she said, no, I need to get stronger. So that was her Saturday night, little time on the treadmill.
Wow.
2 hours, boy.
Amazing. What do you do, Denise?
I'm a special ed teacher in Chicago Public Schools.
And I understand that Abby also asks about your kids all the time, right?
She does, yes. She's she has some really good insight. I think she has the potential to be a teacher. Occasionally I might come home stressed and share part of the day, and she always has really good advice or ask about certain students or tells me to just breathe. So
yeah, and asking about kids and worrying about them, I think, is a testament to the big heart on that kiddo of yours. So look, it's clear who the kid of the week is, and I appreciate you being on to talk about her. And will you just tell her we love her and hug her and all of that? I don't want to put her on the spot, but
she's right here. She can say hi.
Oh, we say hi. Well, that's great. Yeah.
Sure. Do you want to say hi? Okay.
Hi.
Hi, Abby. Congratulations on everything you're doing. You make us tired. You work so hard. And you're the kid of the week. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And Andrea,
she's awesome.
You know Abby, right?
I love Abby. Abby, do you want to tell Steve? I don't mean to put you on the spot. I know you have a little crush on somebody else in the WGN family, the TV weather forecaster.
Who do you like, Abby?
The weather kids.
The weather kids.
The Weather Kids. Paul Conrad does the Weather Kids. Yeah.
Oh, the Paul Conrad Weather Kids segment.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Big fan.
All right. We're going to get you an autographed picture of Paul, and when you get tired of it, you can throw tomatoes at it. So give your mom a hug, and thank you for being on, and congratulations. You're the kid of the week.
Thank you.
How about that? Now, you go through the list. And Denise, by the way, for prizes, Kevin will talk to you off the air, but is Abby a fan of pizza?
She is. She is. Who isn't?
Exactly. Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of the 40-plus Chicagoland locations at loumalnati's.com. We'll give you a ChevyDriveChicago.com WGN radio stainless steel travel mug, Papa Nicola's coffee, all from your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. We'll give you a MyPillow. And since I know that she got a chance to meet Andrew Shaw, we also have these cool 3x4-foot Chicago sports team throw rugs with your favorite sports logo on it. So maybe she could have that for a room or something, right?
That'd be great.
With the Indian head logo on it.
Great. Thank you so much.
And that is from our friends at Tri-State Carpet and Floor in Elgin, where you can afford to be floored. Go to iwanttobefloored.com. Listen, you're great, and so's your kid. Thanks for being on, and thanks for telling us about Abby, clearly the kid of the week.
Thank you so much.
All right,
bye.
Hold the line.
Now, bye,
how do
Denise.
You know Denise and Abby?
My cousin, Maria, who's my goddaughter's mother, they've been best friends since they were kids. So I knew Abby from the time she was a baby, and we never thought she would accomplish what she has accomplished in her short little life. When she started the equine therapy, it was wonderful. But Denise, of course, I mean, as any mom would be, you know, you're nervous, you're scared for your kid. And then when she says, I'm going to compete in the Special Olympics using no walker, no bars, nothing, and having to control a horse, I mean, she's just inspirational. So congrats to all of them.
And Mary, you know, Ann Maxfield was our old friend Ann. I don't mean
sure.
old. I mean our young friend Ann Maxfield. Mm-hmm. Was doing equine therapy for years.
I remember that.
One of the volunteers would go out with the horses and help the kids and stuff. So it's an amazing program and an amazing therapy.
God bless him. I'm afraid of horses.
I know, right, Mary?
Listen, you look at the list that Abby does with CP every day, and the rest of us are just sitting around. Time now for your traffic trouble spots. Here's Mary. Patty Vasquez is here. Patty's on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. That's the name of the show. It's from 11 to 2. Did you go home?
I did not. I crawled into my office with my MyPillow. And,
nicely done by you.
And thank you very much. I'm not lying, though. I actually travel with my MyPillow. I'm grabbing an Amtrak train with my MyPillow.
Okay.
And I'm going to grab hopefully there are two seats so I can curl up with my MyPillow a nap.
Just tell people that you're Patty Vasquez and you need a nap.
I need a nap.
You're going to Springfield for?
Well, tomorrow
is the good time?
The good time, yes, because it's that time of year. I think that this is when they say you should go, is definitely
no
January.
No doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. I want to be there for the State of the State address by the governor of Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
You and I were talking just a moment ago about Sheriff Tom Darts. Did you see his tweet? I was so surprised. I had to retweet that because I was caught off guard by that.
Which tweet are you referring to?
His inaction is going to plunge our most vulnerable into distress and swell our prisons.
Well, I mean, Tom Dartsman, all over the fact that he's running the world's largest mental health institution for a long time.
Right.
And wants more help and needs more help. And he'll be on with us in a few minutes. What I want is universal outrage.
I do, too.
I want universal outrage that this has happened. And the Tribune story, which a lot of you may have seen, Rauner said there's no good excuse for the latest social service cuts. The Lutheran Social Services of Illinois, it's the largest social service agency in the state, is closing 30 programs and cutting 750 jobs because they don't have the $6 million to pay their bills.
And those are services for veterans, for senior citizens. Yes, for the disabled. And, this is the kind of thing. 4,700 people will be cut off completely without impunity. There's not any sort of, this person is in dire need. It's just completely, these programs are shut down from Moline to Springfield to Chicago, all over the state of Illinois. People are going to be without services. And this is terrifying for a lot of people.
Well,
who
and then you've got
them.
the Children Home and Aid Society, which can no longer help runaway kids. This is what, sadly, because of the cowards in Springfield, had to happen. Because it had to get to this state for people to now wake up and realize what's going on.
But, you know, when I was down in Springfield last year, and this was after the cuts to autism and epilepsy were restored, you know, they had found $300 million. I talked to a representative who said, well, everyone's going to have to make sacrifices to get the state back on track. And as far as I can tell, the only sacrifices have really been to the most vulnerable. The only time I saw everybody else pay attention was when we weren't paying out our lotteries.
What
do you mean? We're not going to get our $600.
That's exactly
what?
Right. The most vulnerable 3-5% of the state are paying the greatest costs.
Yes.
Including the people that provide services to those, in the case of this, again, mm-hmm. with the job loss. So what did Lou Lang say to you?
Lou Lang said that one of the reasons that they're having a big struggle is that it's the turnaround agenda. When they sit down and talk about the budget, the governor has his list of things that he wants to turn around. Those are separate from the budget, and that has been the issue from the very beginning. I think that, and a lot of people will say, well, we can't get our budget turned around unless we address pension reform. Yes, 25% of our budget is dedicated to paying pensions, but that's not tied to actually our budget right now going forward and paying people like the people for early intervention. For 6 weeks, they have not been paid, and some of those doors will start to close.
Can I ask you guys, would this be a good time to ask about your thoughts on the governor's wife getting a chief of staff state salary, $100,000 a year?
Has she had I think I read an article that makes sense if she has a high profile and a busy schedule.
Right.
I don't know of any events that she has scheduled that she has appeared for the last year.
Somebody said this was it was a nonpartisan comment to that, saying that would be maybe because Michelle Obama really is out there. Or usually the First Lady of the United States is always out there promoting an agenda and whatnot. But for the state of Illinois, for this particular
I think that's a reasonable question. It needs a reasonable explanation. But again, I don't want this story to get lost in Rauner's failing the state.
Right.
I want this
story, for one job compared to everything
else. I want
else.
This story to outrage everyone. And I understand what Lou Lang said.
Right.
I also don't agree with it. Because if you don't bring the speaker and his power to the table to have these negotiations, who's not convening the legislature until this week, 2 weeks late, who doesn't show up for meetings to have the discussions, you can't say we're having an argument with a guy who won't compromise, because you're not even having the argument.
And where is the Democrats' turnaround agenda? What do Democrats want from the
right.
state from the state of Illinois? And it should be protecting the services for the most vulnerable, and that's not on the table.
They should all be ashamed of themselves.
Yes.
They should all be beyond embarrassed, and everyone listening should be outraged enough to do what you're doing today.
Well, we are going to start taking people to Springfield or to their individual offices in their districts to meet with the legislators. The more you get in front of them, make your needs heard. Make what you're concerned about their concerns. That's when they start to answer.
And I'm telling you, even if you don't care about any of this, even if you can get on with your day without worrying about people who are much worse off than you, I'm not even judging you. I'm telling you, it's coming to your schools. It's coming to your
yes.
neighborhoods. It's coming to your job. It's coming to all of us. Everything that goes on in the state is interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
And the longer this BS goes on, the more it's going to show up on your doorstep.
I know we had the buzzer, but last week they announced all those job cuts for CPS, and they said, well, none of them were teachers. But six positions were eliminated in the Chicago public school system that was dedicated to helping place children with disabilities. So there's now one person responsible for making sure that children who have disabilities are in the right programs throughout the city of Chicago. So there.
And if you don't take care of the people that need the most help, what does it say about you as a state?
I'm just not much.
Who well, thanks you? For going. I, by the way, am trying to lock up the dealership for flaming clubs for the protest.
I need an RV.
Clubs outside where you can bang on the doors and we all have clubs
that.
On fire.
Well, you told me once to take an army of moms. So I want to get a bus together. That's what we're going to start doing.
All right. I'm in.
Army of moms.
Bus of moms.
Bus of moms.
Even though I know I'll never be a mother, I'm in.
Yeah. You're a mother like no one.
Well, a lot of people have said I'm a mother,
you're a
but
mother.
In a different way. All right. Don't miss your train.
I'm catching the 9:20.
Well, then hang out.
All right, then.
The majority party in the General Assembly thought that just raising taxes to fund those services, they could do it. They haven't even moved a finger to go do that. They're very comfortable not having a budget and allowing those services to go away. To me, that's an outrage.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
713, Sheriff Tom Darts just about had it. How about you? I'm going to pick up the phone and talk to Tom Dart here. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. How are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm all right. Thanks for coming on. I remember back in the 60 Minutes profile on what you were trying to get done and what you were trying to tell people about in 2013. Can you believe that we're coming up on 2.5 years ago and it's actually worse?
I know. To be honest with you, I wasn't expecting it was going to be the clearing call to change everything, but I did think that there's been this momentum of at least people understanding the depth of the problem of dumping the mentally ill into jails and prisons. And yet I look around, and not just here, but we're the worst, but around the rest of the country too. It's still, we're so far off of doing, just frankly, Steve, nothing dramatic, but just doing literally the right thing, treating sick people as if they're sick and not as criminals. And we still have so far to go. And these recent cuts, boy, not helpful, I'll tell you. You know, it's one of those things where I'm not looking for, you know, any special favors from anybody in this thing, but I would just ask for a little bit of help in some of these problems that are dumped at our doorstep every day. That, yes, I knew it. I signed up for the job. I love my job. But, boy, oh, boy, let's try not to make it any trickier than it already is.
Well, tell me specifically what no budget on a state level does to the Cook County Sheriff's Department.
You know, the biggest part, to be honest with you, is, Steve, is the tangential part that is the easier one to mask. Namely, if you just cut programs, you dial them back, you eliminate them altogether on the street. So social service programs for mental health treatment, for drug treatment, if you either cut those or dial those back, the natural reaction is I will get most of the different groups of people that were relying on those in one form or another cycling into the jails. The numbers all show that there's no great, you know, higher math involved here. And so is it easier to mask it then? Because it's not as if you literally shut the program down, put everyone on a bus and drove them over to the jail. No. But when I talk to the detainees all the time, when we study all the numbers and the data, it shows that when that event occurs, when those programs aren't out there anymore, people will self-medicate, people will look for places to sleep because they don't have any shelter, they'll look for things to eat because they have no counselor working with them on any of these levels. Their families can't handle it anymore because the families were burnt out because of all the different issues they had with sure. people going off meds and the like. And so they need help. And when they don't have it, police are called to the door. And we know the horrific things that are called when occurred when police are called to the doors of someone who's in a psychotic state. And then they're eventually loaded up and taken over to a jail. And I ask people, is that responsible? Is that thoughtful? Is that what our society's about? And I would hope people would say, you know, no.
Well, no, exactly right. And I think that's the point I want everyone to hear is that this no budget situation and the lack of supportive programs or dealing with mental health, literally, instead of helping people, you're making future inmates. That's it.
Oh, Steve, there is no mystery. This isn't one of those ones where you have to make five leaps here to get to the final conclusion. This is absolutely, it's supported by everything. No one with a functioning brain disagrees with it. And it is happening. We see it right now. Steve, I have three divisions of the jail that are shuttered, that don't have anybody in it. Those are the general population jails. What's the one part of the jail that is 120% capacity every day? The mental health unit.
120%. 120%. Yes. I'm going to get Andrea in here and Patty, too, if she's still conscious. But first at 717, a traffic update. Mary's back with that, with your trouble spots, and then more from Sheriff Tom Dart. What do you got, Mary? Sheriff Tom Dart on the phone, Cook County Sheriff's Department. And Andrea, jump in and say hello.
Hi, Sheriff. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing today?
I'm great, thank you. You know, at the time of that 60 Minutes interview, almost 3 years ago, come this fall, you said that there were 2,500 inmates who were dealing with mental illness. I'm just curious, has that number increased, stayed the same, and have you been provided with any sort of relief, counselors, treatment, anything of that sort, since that interview?
You know, the kicker there is our numbers have been relatively stable, but only because our overall population is going down. So that means that actually percentage-wise it's gone up. But here's the thing, and this is the truth, and I'm not proud of this at all, is that because of the thoughtful plan we put together where we treat them like people with an illness and we help them with reconnecting with their families, we have a van that goes out to their house to help when there's crisis, because of all these things we do, we've become one of the best providers around. So we have countless detainees that tell us, I'm happy to be back here. It's where I get the best treatment. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. This is not how I envisioned
this. This is not the way it's supposed to work.
No, Steve. That's where it's like I feel like, you know, I'm almost contributing the problem because we've set up such a thoughtful process for people with mental illness that other folks don't have to bother with it and that the providers want to do it. God knows they want to do it. But when they were on shaky grounds before this budget disaster, Steve, and now they're beyond a lifeline. There's people that are cutting back on everything, shutting programs down. And I understand there's this big philosophical war going on down in Springfield. But these are groups of people that are folks that government was set up to help. It was, you know, we can all argue what government's for, what's not for. These are groups of people that government said, you know, this is the group of people, you know, people in the child welfare system, people with disabilities. We're supposed to help them. And boy, oh boy, you know what? I was down in Springfield for, you know, 11 painful years back in the 90s, and I had Republican governors the entire time I was down there, Democrats in the legislature. We didn't all love each other, but boy, we got, you know, budgets done, and, you know, there was...
This is an embarrassment. This is an absolute embarrassment. The bare minimum job requirement ought to be get the budget done. That should be the absolute minimum. And the fact that it's not done and it continues to linger, and now we're seeing direct, tangible evidence of people that are being hurt every day, and we keep repeating the same thing, but it's the most vulnerable people in the state who are being hurt the most by the fact that people in Springfield can't figure it out. And Tom, I'm sure you're like me and most people. You want to have a long-term academic discussion about what politics is about, or about where we go with the state of Illinois. You know, go set up a seminar at the U of C or Northwestern and have a great weekend. The state's on fire.
Yeah.
Put the frickin' fire out.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Steve. And that's where it's been so, you know, the problem has been, frankly, there hasn't been that great crisis because, you know, the workers are being paid, the governmental agencies are open.
Right.
And so the public doesn't see what's going on out there. I unfortunately see it on a regular basis. And honest to goodness, these providers that you come across, these aren't folks that zip around on their yachts, you know, in the summertime.
Right.
These are people that they are passionate folks who barely get by themselves on a good year, who do this because of their love for doing good things for people. And our way of paying them back is we stretch them so thin that they are on that God knows what line of credit to just try to keep the doors open. And you're like, come on, folks. I mean, I know these aren't the folks you interact with every single day of your life, but a lot of us see this around us. And this is, as you said, Steve, you nailed it. This is the baseline part government's supposed to do. Then we can have our little debate societies do the rest of the nonsense we do to, you know, to piss everyone off. But let's get this part of it done.
Before I let you go, the governor's reaction to your tweets was a pretty sharp reflex, and he threw you in with Madigan that you have some sort of alliance. You want to address that?
You know, the speaker and I have a cordial relationship now, but anybody who was ever down Springfield when I was down there would tell you that he and I, we spend most of our time disagreeing and not getting along, and, you know, I have respect for him. I know he has his hands full. I couldn't imagine how he's dealing with all this right now, but there was never anybody confused us with bosom buddies. As I said, you know, when I decided not to run again for the legislature down there, I think he was rather, you know, happy that I was no longer down there. So, you know, I wildly respect what he does, but, you know, this isn't like he and I talk. Last time I think I talked with the speaker was probably about 6 months ago, you know, so...
Yeah, and I think, and again, my goal is universal panic. I want everybody in the state to be upset about this because it's time for everybody to be upset. And there's plenty of blame to go around, but the more time we spend around pointing fingers at each other going, that's not my fault, it's his fault, the less anything's going to get done. And at the bare minimum, along with doing the budget, I'd like the speaker to show up to a meeting where he can have the discussion. And if it's not getting solved, then work the media the way the governor does because silence is getting us nowhere.
No, it doesn't help because this is one of the things where the public needs to be absolutely informed of where people's positions are, what they've offered, what they've agreed to do, what the compromises have been out there, because otherwise people just assume the worst, that you're just digging your heels in and doing nothing. And I know that has not been going on, but, you know, when there's this big void, people will fill it in.
Let me just check with Kevin before I let Sheriff Tom Dart go. Is Speaker Madigan going to be on today? Kev, what are we hearing? Oh, I see. Once again. Oh, no. Apparently, once again, we're not hearing anything. What about the Queen of England? Is she going to be on the show sooner, Kev? Have we spoken with Buckingham Palace?
Probably sooner, actually. Yes. Yeah.
That's
we'll work on that.
That's right, Tom. It's easier to get the Queen than it is the Speaker to talk about this. I appreciate you being on at Tom Dart. And again, unless I'm missing the point, Sheriff, your outrage is for the state, not against either party.
No, I really don't. You know, it's just please just get a budget done for us. Please help us.
All right, man. I appreciate your time. That's Sheriff Tom Dart at Tom Dart on social media at 7:26. John DeCoste has new videos to share with us on the YouTube as opposed to the Hulu or the Netflix.
Yeah, he's got his own little channel now.
Yeah, and we'll have those before 8 o'clock. Also, Jared Payton on the NFL Man of the Year Awards and talking about his dad on this 30th anniversary of the Bears Super Bowl. This is 720 WGN. 7:38 on the 30th anniversary of the Bears Super Bowl. Dave Ennett was 47 when he covered that Super Bowl. Just a young broadcaster. That must have been, you must have moved the entire radio station to New Orleans, right?
We did. I think we had every show from New Orleans. Wally, Bob, Roy, everybody, the sports shows. We had the whole staff of the station
right
down there. It was unbelievable.
What'd you do about tickets? How many people got to go to the game?
They came up with some. We were all working, so I'm not even sure.
You know,
sure.
It's funny. Is in 1985, it was easier to get a Super Bowl ticket.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. But not for that game. I mean, there was such demand for that game. And the thing I remember, the hotel we were staying in, and we were staying in the team hotel, I remember going to the lobby to get a cup of coffee and waiting in line 20 minutes. And that's how the entire week was in New Orleans. It was mostly Bears fans.
Well, that team was beyond dominant. And Jared Payton remembers it well because I think he was a boy of five. Were you four or five, Jared, when that Super Bowl happened?
I actually just turned six.
You're six.
I was born on December 26th, so I just turned six, and then we went down there. My family on my mom's side is all from New Orleans, so you guys, so the first night that we got down there, the party was unbelievable by my grandma's house, and God rest her soul, she cooked up food for everybody, and everybody was trying to become cousins with my mom and family members so they could get a ticket to the game, but... We had five tickets and don't remember the game, but my mom has pictures from me sitting there. And I do remember one thing after the Super Bowl, leaving with my dad and Matt Sui on a private plane back to Chicago. I remember that vividly, but other than the game, I was too little. I don't remember anything that went on.
As the years went on, what would your dad say about that game? Like when you guys would talk, what would he talk to you about it? Would he talk to the family, or did he not talk about it much?
You know, it was weird because once I started to play football my junior year, and there's a lot of different reasons why I started to switch over from soccer to football, but a big reason for me, Steve, was to be able to be closer to my dad. He had a connection, but to have a bigger connection. I wanted to see, you know, and he taught me so much about the game. And I remember sitting down with him and asking him, you know, that question of, you know, how did it feel not to score in the Super Bowl? And, you know, he looked at me and he said, you know what, for years it was a tough deal for me to kind of swallow and deal with. But he goes, you know what, the one thing that I do know is that I got a chance to be on one of the greatest teams to ever play. And I got a championship. And I got to leave the game with a championship. And he said, son, you know how many guys play professional sports and don't have a championship? And it just put it in perspective of...
Well, right in this town, right? You look over across town, and we lost a couple of them in the last few years. Ernie Banks, Ron Santo, guys like that. Not only never got to a championship, never got to a playoff game.
Yeah, and it's pretty special to be able to sit and, you know, on my show on CLT Sports Feed, we've been going through the entire year of 85 Rewind, and we have all the old footage from... WGN TV. So we're going back in the reels and getting it and to watch how dominant they were. I mean, that defense was awesome, but the offense, they held their own. And to kind of this whole year, it's really been crazy for me to watch my dad for his progression through the year and how he played. I mean, it's just 1,500 yards. I mean,
crazy.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, listen, they're, you hear it every day, and I'm sure it never gets old, but your dad was a very special guy, and there'll never be a better running back in the game. Or anybody that worked harder. Somebody his size never, ever should have been able to achieve at the level he achieved. So he is a tremendous part of the fabric of this city, and I know you never get tired of fans coming up and telling you that.
No, not at all. I mean, that's what's so great about, you know, going to the Super Bowl every single year since 99 with the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award and where it's grown. I mean, people will come up to me now in the streets and they go, I see that that commercial with Eric Dickerson talking about your dad. It gets me emotional every single time I see it. And now to see the three finalists, this is going to be a great Super Bowl.
Before we get back to the Man of the Year Award, JP, there's going to be a reunion. And there have been a number of reunions of the 85.
But this is the biggie.
This is the 30th anniversary reunion tonight at Soldier Field. I know you're going to be there. How many guys are coming back for that? Do you know?
I actually had an interview with Matt Sui last night, which doesn't happen that often. And
right.
was talking with him, and he said close to, I think there could be a bunch of guys. I would say definitely 30-something or 40-something. I'm not really sure, but I know with the 30 to 30, over 20-some guys took part in the documentary for ESPN. So it's going to be a cool thing to see everybody. I look forward to, I'm covering it tonight and tomorrow. So, you know, a lot of those guys are kind of like uncles to me. So I look forward to seeing them all.
Let's go through a couple of the things you're busy with along with the CLTV show. It's called what?
Sports Feed, Sunday through Thursday, me and Josh Friedman. I hope people watch it. It's a fun show.
No, it is a fun show, but I want to make sure people know about it. And that's what time?
It's at 6 o'clock, and yes, Dave Ennett has been on there. See, can I just tell you, Dave Ennett he's my guy, man. I love him so much, and I love being able to see him when he's over at ESPN TV. Dave, you are one of my idols, man. I just want to let you know that.
Isn't that nice?
Thanks, Jared. Very nice.
It's got to mean a lot to you to hear that because you knew his dad so well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm very flattered.
And, Jared, you also have the blog. Where do we see the blog?
You get a chance to go on to just WGN Radio, and you can check out. If you go to sports, you click on my name, and it's got the blog there, Down and Distance, with my man Sean Davis, who you had on, producing your show not too long ago. He sent me the clip about there are black people on WGN Radio, and I'm one of them.
Wait a minute, you're black? With the Oscars coming up, we have to be careful. You know that. Now, here's the rest of this that the people need to know. Your foundation is as busy as it's ever been, and there's several events coming up, and I'll have you back to plug the bowling thing in particular. But if people want to keep up with what's going on, is social media the best way to follow you?
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at PaytonSun, PaytonSun, and you can find out everything. We have February 11th coming up. We have a bowling event at Kings and Rosemont. So the invitation is to both of you guys. I would love for you guys to be there. If there's an opportunity to get you guys to bowl with some people. But last year was a great turnout, and we look forward to having a great turnout this year.
And you're cool with overhand? Overhand, you know, with the 16-pounders?
Listen, you're my idol too, Steve. You can do whatever you want, man.
Courtesy, you're my idol. I mean, he meant it with Ennett.
Right.
Unbelievable. What an outrage. I couldn't be more thrilled for your success. And everybody at WGN Radio and TV, and especially the people I see every day on the seventh floor, who do they talk about? They go on and on. Jared is unbelievable. I've known Jared for a long time as well, and our mutual friend Mark Slaby, who does such a great job with the Illinois Patriot Education Fund, said, you know, Jared's helping us out, and Jared does all these quiet things. With all the other foundational stuff he does, he's always contributing his time here and there. And you know how much I think of your mom, because when your dad was busy being Walter Payton, because that's what his job was, your mom was busy, too, raising you guys, and you and Brittany turned out pretty good.
Well, I appreciate it. I look forward to keep doing stuff. I'm actually on the way out the door now to go speak to a school in Naperville, about 900 kids. So look forward to inspiring them this morning.
You're finished with your Captain Crunch already? The three finalists, by the way, I don't know, did we mention that?
We did not.
The three finalists. It's a pretty good group, Jarrett. It's Eli Manning, Benjamin Watson, the tight end, with the Drew Brees down with the Saints, and Anquan Boldin of the 49ers in his hometown is where the Super Bowl is going to be. So that should be a very cool event. That's the night before the Super Bowl is the presentation?
Yes, at the NFL Honor. So we look forward to giving one of those guys the award, but all three are very deserving. So my family and I, we can't wait to get on the West Coast and get a chance to meet with those guys.
And does your son have more followers than you on Twitter?
No, my son, he's at Peyton Son, just S-O-N. Yeah, he's getting there. And my daughter, who's going to be born in April, she has a Twitter account, Peyton Girl 34. She's already got 140 followers on Twitter. She's not even born yet.
You know, what's crazy about that as a dad, you're going, wait, is this a good thing?
Well, with her, yeah, that's the tough part.
Dads and daughters.
Yeah, I'm nervous, but I can't wait. Me and my wife are super excited for the new addition to get here.
Well, hugs to the family, man. We love you, and thanks for coming on, and happy anniversary to the Payton family.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, talk to you later. Jared Payton. What a love affair with Ennett and Payton.
Boy, no kidding.
Unbelievable.
They both have pretty big makeup drawers at Channel 9.
It's unbelievable.
That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I love Jared, but could he have slurped that any harder?
Right.
Come on.
When he said, Dave's my idol.
Dave's my idol. I look
that
up
was
to
pretty,
Dave.
That was funny.
I mean, I'm the same way.
Why can't you just let me enjoy the moment, huh?
Have you heard the show? Add Peyton's son. Add P-A-Y-T-O-N-S-U-N. Follow Jared. He's as good as we say he is. It's time for Mary to do your traffic trouble spots update. What's happening, Mary? Seven 53. John DeCoste is here. John, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing fine. And I brought up the fact the other day that everybody seems to be getting famous off of YouTube. And we decided that we would start this YouTube channel featuring you doing stuff that's just as pointless as what these stars are doing in the hopes of making you famous enough to leave the show.
Yeah, I don't like to think of it as pointless because I'm spending the time doing it. But
it's pointless. I mean, we need to start as a baseline that it's definitely pointless.
I mean, we can say it. I just don't want to keep talking about it.
I understand. Pointless. All right. So the YouTube channel, and I brought in your technical advisor, Ross Cochran, as well. Good morning, Ross. How are you?
I'm happy to be here.
Okay. And Ross, this YouTube channel can be found where?
On YouTube.
The YouTube or the is YouTube. One of the other YouTubes?
Yeah. So YouTube.com. If you search.
The main one.
Yes. Don't go to the non-main one.
That's, is it like YouTube right. Prime?
No.
There is a YouTube just in Maine.
No.
But that's a no, separate that's
not,
one.
No. You're not on the main YouTube.
No.
You're on the YouTube that everybody knows.
So far, this is going just as I pictured
yeah,
it.
I know.
So if you go on to YouTube.
Yeah.
And search.
You know what Ross said this morning to me? And this may sum up this show better than anybody. Ross was talking about something that I didn't think was as important as what I had to say. So I tapped him on the back and kept repeating what I had to say over and over again. And you know, what you remember what you said?
I said, it's really hard to work for you when I have to work with you.
Isn't that sum up how all
that
you feel?
That could be the most poetic thing I've ever heard.
That's a T-shirt.
Ever.
It's hard to work for you when I have to work with
that
you.
That could be the Cochran Show motto. You know, we're always trying to think of slogans for T-shirts, situation. That's the one.
Yep. It's hard to work for me when you have to work with me. All right, so anyway, why don't you get to the plug?
Yeah. So on YouTube, if you search Today in DeCoss, Today in DACOSSE, you'll see John's channel. There are 7 videos up now. My personal favorite involves Star Wars and Legos.
Mm-hmm. We don't want to give it up, though, right?
No, but there's also such hits as John waiting on the phone, may or may not be involved with customer service, and a funny car one.
And something involving your remotes at home?
Yes, also the remotes on the couch. And, you know, it's a funny one of them. Again, not giving up too much information, but a big thank you.
Don't want to spoil this.
No.
Maybe
we
don't say spoiler alert for John DeCoste videos.
No, because the content is so compelling.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And it's going to hold you for the entire 42 seconds.
Yep. All right, good. And the ironing one is still up there?
Still one is up there. The bathroom stall is still up there.
So if you think your life is tedious, you don't know tedious until you've seen John.
Yes.
Write that down. That could be nice.
Here's what I want to say, though. I do have to give a little special thank you to little Frankie Vicari. I won't give it, but the Legos one. Here's the, you know, we were talking last week about how all these people are making money on this. There is a 10-year-old who all he does, he has a YouTube channel of building Legos. That's it.
Yeah.
He just builds Legos.
He made a couple hundred grand or something like that.
Exactly. $275,000.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And I work for you.
Well, maybe if you were better at Legos, you wouldn't find yourself in this position. All right, so that's part one.
Yes, we're going to be adding videos. What did we say? We get up to about 10, and then we'll be doing it every day, adding another video. And a lot of people have already subscribed, so it's kind of exciting.
All right. Well, listen, whatever keeps you happy, and you know, that's fine.
The new dancing one kicked, by the way.
Yeah,
I was
no
surprised
about it. So go to YouTube, and what do we search?
Today in DeCoste, or in it's DeCoste. Also on your social media, facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show, and on Twitter @Cochran Show.
All right, part two is this.
Yeah.
We have planned another stand-up comedy show involving the show.
Yeah.
And the show specifically will, and I'm very excited about this, have the stand-up comedy debut of one of my favorite Greeks, Andrea Darlis.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Anna DeVonta's.
How great is that?
No, Anna doesn't have the stones yet to get up and nice. And do this.
And
so you're gonna do stand up.
I'm gonna try. Yeah, well, I didn't get any peer pressure at all from you or John or Kevin. Not at all.
Well, Kevin is now an old stand-up vet of two appearances?
I believe three, Steve.
Three? Three, yeah.
three appearances.
See, I just got a writer's sheet from him this morning.
What, he wants in the green
room? Yeah. It's like two times he's done it.
And Ross will be on stage as well. First time he's been on stage since he left college.
Yep. It's a comeback tour.
Couple things have happened since then. You're married and have a child.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it fair to say you're a little edgy about this?
No, it'll definitely be weird because I literally haven't told a joke since I was married and have a child, so it's going to be a whole new stuff.
You're talking about stand-up.
Well, thanks for promoting this. Yeah. Thanks for making this.
No, this is going to be great.
Are you going to have fun with this, Kevin? I don't get the sense you're having any fun.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, you're going to have fun. Okay.
Absolutely.
I don't have to go first, do I?
The way we normally do this is ladies first.
No. Ladies, yeah. No. Actually, the way we do it is you're first. We take about a 20-minute intermission.
Yeah.
Right. And then we start the show.
No, I don't want that part to happen. No.
But this is an opportunity. I'm sorry, Dave, did you want to do stand-up?
Yeah, what about me and Dave? You guys have to be funny.
I didn't say anything. Mary just volunteered.
Mary, we don't want to do stand-up, but what can we do, Dave?
At the show?
Yeah, we can do something.
I think this is not like the Dick Van Dyke show.
Is this a variety show?
Let me explain this.
To be invited. Oh,
if
sorry.
Either one of you are ready
I'll just
to commit,
go away into my corner.
If either one of you are ready to commit to doing stand up, nothing would amuse me more. But you can give it some thought because I don't think you should commit today.
That's okay.
Well, Steve, can we still come if we don't do stand up?
Right.
Sure, Steve's going to be doing news in the parking lot.
Yeah,
I'm Grisanich on news right in the parking lot.
And doing interviews and sound bites and stuff. Yeah.
You can't heckle, by the way, if you come, Dave.
Oh, so when is this?
No.
This is going to be March 26th.
It's March
26th. Between Good Friday and Easter. We are calling it the Steve Cochran Morning Show Comedy Extravaganza.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Oh, that's
how about
cute.
That? We haven't had a title that good since, what was it, Cornfield County or whatever the
Cornfield
hell that
County
show
was? Good.
Comedy at Carnegie Hall.
Comedy at Carnegie Hall. All right, regardless of the title of the show, please join us anyway.
Wilmette Theater, beautiful little theater. Wendy Sharon, just phenomenal person. Wilmette Theater, you can go to wilmettetheater.com or call their box office at 847-251-7424 to see the morning show comedy.
Do they have
comedy.
A nice parking lot?
They do have a nice parking
Excellent.
Lot. Yeah, it's Wilmette. You park where, you know what, you just pull into anyone's driveway. They're fine with it. And you and I will be on stage as well?
Yes.
Okay.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Unless we decide to just leave. Again, that's the Wilmette Theater, and we'll link that through social media as well. We'll take a break, come back, get your news next. Dean still to come. Next hour, Patrick Kane at 8:40. First interview of any significance he's done in a very long time. So we're looking forward to talking to Kaner. Regina King after 9, and Andreas Caucus Raucus.
Yep.
And Steve Dale tries to get a dog adopted after 9:30. Do you know what kind of dog it is?
Pitbull.
Oh,
it is a pitbull.
Pretty.
Coming up on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah,
live from Channel 9 and the bowels of the newsroom. Well, that's not fair to say. You're not in the bowels of the newsroom. You're kind of in the corner.
As bowelsy as it gets.
I mean, you're over in the corner is where you are.
I am trapped in the corner. Strategically, about 30 degrees cooler than the rest of the newsroom.
Why is that, do you think?
Because I'm right by a door. We have a glass door where we can go out. Into the battalion.
And the rest is lit for cool newsroom TV shots?
Right. It is lit for that, but I'm right by this door, and apparently when they built it, weather stripping wasn't in the budget.
Well, it's an older building.
Not
maybe
that I'm complaining.
It's an older building. Maybe there was no weather stripping.
No, well, this part of the newsroom was remodeled.
So, oh, it was?
Yeah, there was.
Okay.
Like the 1700s where they built it with logs?
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing because the outsiders look like it's a show from that time and they were just trying to get a whole thematic thing going.
Thank goodness the weather has been mild is all I can say.
What is The Outsiders?
Oh, The Outsiders is new original programming on our national cable channel, WGN America. It is not, I heard you guys talking about that 1980s movie. It is not a remake of that.
I was just hoping, Dean.
I know.
Hoping against hope.
I know. Wasn't that kind of like a West Side Story
yes.
thing, right? Wasn't it?
It
like
was.
Two street gangs the, you know, like sort of like,
when you reject sort, all sort of the like way.
That. It was sort of like that, and I remember Rob Lowe and Patrick Swayze.
When you're Rob Lowe, some people think you are gay.
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise, ironically, is in it.
Emilio Estevez.
Diane Lane is in it.
Is that right?
Really?
A young Diane Lane.
Leif Garrett is in it.
What's he up to these days?
I would have to do a little research on that. I don't bother. A bit of research on that. And it was directed by Francis Ford Coppola. But enough about that.
Yeah, let's talk about the new Outsiders.
1983 movie. The new one is it's set in the hills of Appalachia. And there is a family that has lived on top of this mountain for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. They don't follow the law. They don't, you know, the
who town, do they use as a cable provider?
The town below. Well, I actually have a list of that, of where you can find WGN America. But it's sort of these hill people, these Appalachian mountain people versus the townspeople and a lumber company that wants to buy this mountain, use it, you know, to tear down all the trees.
And so they want to make the Outsiders insiders, and the Outsiders ain't playing that.
The Outsiders don't want any part of it.
Get off my mountain.
It's a tight-knit group. And
I wish I could quit you. I'm combining things now, aren't I?
That's a whole, you got like a whole gay theme going today, don't you? I noticed.
I don't know where it all came from, okay. But I can tell you this. The Outsiders looks like quality WGN America programming.
I saw the first episode. It's edgy. It's a little bit Sons of Anarchy-ish. And it debuts tonight at 8 o'clock Central Time on WGN America, which is seen on cable channels, cable systems all over the world.
Check your local listings.
Check your local listings on that.
Dave Matthews' 25th anniversary tour is coming up. It's hard to believe he's been around that long, but I was thinking, yeah, I played Dave Matthews records back when I was a disc jockey.
Yep, and he's starting this massive world tour that will find its way to Alpine Valley July 1st and 2nd. But what's cool about this tour that he's doing, the band will be doing two complete full sets. So you come for the concert, and it's like getting two concerts. He's going to do two full complete sets during this 20th anniversary tour. I guess that's because he also announced that the band will be on complete hiatus next year. They're taking 2017 off.
Yeah, me too. Sofia Vergara is suing someone over her face?
No, not over. Actually, this is not over her face.
No, it's not.
Well, it's a little bit over her face, but it's more really about her backside. And I know
her booty.
You enjoy a good story about Sofia Vergara's backside.
I'm more focused on her frontals.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, not when you hear the story, I don't think. You got to hear the full story. So she goes to this place called the Venus Concept Company. They have what they call a skin tightening massage technique that they were performing.
It's like the one I use?
A little bit similar.
Okay.
A little bit similar. I don't think that, well, it's different. Let's just say it's different.
Mine uses a system of pulleys and levers.
Yeah, no need for me to get in trouble so early in the week.
Right.
So anyway, she's getting this. She's on her stomach. They're doing this skin tightening massage. It looks like with some sort of mechanical device on her backside, and Sofia takes a selfie of herself. You see her laying on the table. And she's getting this result, puts it on her Instagram page.
Okay.
This Venus Concept Company takes the picture, and they put it in their advertising saying Sofia Vergara has had this
procedure. Can't do that. No, of course you can't do that.
And she loves it, and she loves it. And Sofia is objecting to that. One, that they use the picture, and two, she wants them to stop claiming that she loved the procedure because later on she said the whole thing was a big waste of time with minimal results.
She was trying to get her butt lifted? Was that the goal?
I think tightened.
Tightened.
Who doesn't want tightened buttocks?
Back to the old theme of the show here. All right, well, good luck to Sofia Vergara and her butt cheeks.
I'm going to say stop taking selfies of yourself also while you're getting a massage.
Yeah, you can't assume.
People need to stop taking so many pictures of yourself and
posting them. I'm not taking any pictures during all of 2017.
Good.
Dave Matthews Band taking a year off. I'm not taking any pictures.
Some of my Facebook people would stop doing that. I don't know what. Maybe it's just people who are fans of mine. They seem to be infatuated with their feet because that's there is an inordinate amount of feet pictures.
So you have foot fetishists who are fans?
Apparently.
You have fan foot fetishists.
On Fridays.
Woody Allen and Miley Cyrus are together. Well, you knew this would happen, so he dumped his daughter?
No, you've got it completely wrong.
Oh, I do?
Although I could see where you'd go for that.
Yeah.
So Woody Allen's making a series of six original shows for the Amazon Channel, six-episode original series, and he hired Miley Cyrus to star in it. You wouldn't think Woody Allen and Miley Cyrus collaborating on a project, but it's about to happen. He's also hired, Elaine May.
Does she even know who Woody Allen is?
I'm going to say she's pretty, savvy.
Okay.
I'm,
you know her. I don't.
I'm certainly hoping. I have interviewed her a couple of times.
Yeah.
Both times very, very pleasant, I might add.
Okay.
So she's going to be in this, it's not really a movie, it's, a series.
Like a video at Woody's house?
But Elaine May, who's 83 years old, is also going to be in it, the actress, director, and famous comedian, who was last in Woody Allen's movie Small Time Crooks 15 years ago.
It's How about that?
Last time that she's worked. So
how about that?
Interesting casting with that, you got to say, at least anyway.
And finally, the greatest television show ever made that's not really a TV show.
I already told you about The Outsiders.
Only way that we are alive as a people and this country continues to function is because of the work of Jack Bauer?
Damn it, Chloe!
You're telling me that Jack Bauer's not going to be on the new 24?
Jack Bauer, at the moment, is not going to be part of this new 24.
Hey, what happened to Kiefer Sutherland?
Damn it!
Kiefer Sutherland was going to be on the show. What happened to that?
Damn it, Chloe!
He is going to be on. He's going to be on February 19th at 7:10 a.m.
All right, I'll be there that day.
Maybe he'll make a big announcement that day saying he's returning to 24.
That he's going
to
be part of the deal?
Yeah.
Because here's what I know about this new reboot that's going to be on Fox. It's called 24 Legacy. All new cast.
Ugh.
Structured in the young... edgy actors,
yeah,
all like that, styled like
it's gonna suck.
The 24 that Kiefer Sutherland,
to call it 12.
So well,
and it'll be half as good.
The guy who's gonna be the new lead,
yeah,
is named Corey Hawkins.
He's great.
I have an open mind.
He played Dr. Dre in Straight Out of Compton.
Oh, forget it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So much for an open mind.
Well, I mean, a fellow black entertainer, I have to support that.
He's a Juilliard graduate, just like you.
Mm-hmm.
Appeared in Walking Dead, just like you.
Mm-hmm.
Starred in Romeo and Juliet on Broadway. He was Romeo. A lot of people don't know.
Steve, I was Juliet.
Steve does a hell of a Juliet. I've seen him on the balcony many times.
Remember that thing I did with the Rapunzel and I couldn't let my hair down?
I do. And I think we all know why you couldn't let your hair down.
It was so sad.
Same reason I can't.
The play went nowhere. All right, so I'll give this guy a shot, and by that I mean I won't watch. Unless Kiefer Sutherland's coming back.
Damn it!
Thank you. All right, man. Back to TV for you.
Okay.
Thanks. And we're back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Damn it, Chloe!
Kane takes a pass on a breakaway over the Predator line. Down the slot, beats him, shoots, he scores! Patrick Kane with a backhanded flip. Beats Rene off the near post and into the back of the Predator net.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with the Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
And we'll get to a question from a listener on the MB Financial Bank Breakfast with the Blackhawk as we welcome in Patrick King. Good morning, Kenner. How are you?
Hey, good, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on. And Dave Ennett's here and Andre as well. Have you ever had more fun on the ice playing hockey than you've had this year?
It's been pretty fun. I almost feel like I might need my Russian passport now to go over there and train with my two line mates. It's been fun playing with Panarin and Anisimov. And those guys want to do so well at brings out the best in yourself too. So it's been fun so far this year.
Did you think, or have you taken time to realize you've gotten old enough to be someone's big brother, and your little brother happens to be the goofy Russian kid who never stops smiling and scoring goals?
I never thought it was the case there, but I think for a long time I was the youngest player on the team. I think for my first 5 years, and you know, now a couple of years passed, I feel like a big time veteran, I guess. And
you're the old guy now, dude.
Yeah, I know. It's not a bad thing. It's a good change, and you know, I like it, especially when these young guys coming in, they bring so much energy, and you know, make you want to play hockey even more. So it's been a good fit.
There was a point the other day when you got your first regular season hat trick, and Panarin had a breakaway, and he did a little drop pass to you to try to get it before you actually got it later in the game. And I thought, this is going to be one of those times where Panarin pretends he can't speak English when Q reads him the riot act when he gets back to the bench. But you guys seem to know where each other is going to be on the ice all the time. Where's that coming from?
I think we just kind of play a similar style of game. You know, I think we're very similar players to start, where except he's on the left wing and a right-handed shot. I'm on the right wing and a left-handed shot. And he just, I guess, you know, when you yell at him enough to pass you the puck, and he kind of gets that in his head, I think we've developed some good chemistry. But I don't know. I think, you know, even though we might have good games, you know, after we score or have a good shift, we always tell each other not to be satisfied or not to be happy, and try to continue to push for more. So it's been fun.
Well, he was in here, Dave, as you remember, Dave Ennett.
Yep.
And he taught us a few dirty words in Russian.
Yes, he did.
Now, we know that he's learned more and more English throughout the year, but how you guys been communicating? Because I'm at a lot of games, and I don't see the interpreter skating behind him.
No, I think he kind of... he knows more English than he lets on, to be honest with you. I think he just doesn't really want to do the interviews after the game when he scored all those goals, like you said. But it's really not that hard. I think you kind of almost have to, you know, talk to him and not really, you know, spell out everything, but just kind of be patient with him. And you know, after a while, he's been understanding. I think his English has definitely gotten better since the first day. I would say a lot better. And, you know, it's still improving, too.
A couple of words you used, energy, chemistry. There's obviously a lot of talent. Does their presence, Panarin and Anisimov and some of the other guys, make you guys more dangerous as a team than you even were last year?
Yeah, I think in ways, for sure. You know, like I said, after a while, have all these changes to your lineup. You know, sometimes you bring in these new guys and they have, you know, the energy and the force to try to do things that we've done in the past and make sure that they're a part of something special too. So, you know, it kind of pushes us forward and makes us, you know, want to do it with the new group and keep getting better. And, you know, it's been great. I mean, it's awesome when these young guys come up and they have such an impact on the game. And, I think they push a lot of us to even enjoy the game more, to have more fun around the locker room, to have more fun on the ice, and you know, brings the most out of the older guys as well.
It's been a year of streaks. You had your point streak, the winning streak. What's it like going to the rink every day when you're on a hot streak like that?
To be honest with you, I think it's the same every day. I don't think it's something, you know, even when we were winning 9, 10, 11 games in a row, I don't really think we thought about it too much. It was probably that game in Nashville where we knew if we reached 12 in a row, we would probably, or we were going to break the franchise record. So that's probably when it got into our head a little bit. And then, you know, when you win that many games in a row and you played that well for so long, I think sometimes it's going to be a little bit of a downfall like there was in Tampa and Florida. And then we came back with a big win against St. Louis at home the other night. So,
yeah, but you know, the thing is that the streak that you were on, that's being in the zone for a long time. So, you know, baseball players talk about the ball looks bigger. Basketball players talk about the hoop looks bigger. Does the net get bigger? Does the game slow down? What does it feel like?
Yeah, sometimes you feel lucky. I mean, I had a few games there where I got some lucky points at the end. I think, you know, when the media starts talking about it around, I think I was around, you know, maybe 14, 15 games where you start talking about the American record at 18 games. You want to make sure you're able to reach that.
And it was making Eddie's hair fall out. You know, that's when he got close to his record, it was making his hair fall out. That's why he went to the guy.
You know, I think, you know, Eddie's been great about it, too. He was one of those guys that told me about his record even a few years past and said that it'd be awesome if it was something I could do. So it was nice to do that. And then, you know, once you get past that, you kind of start thinking about the franchise record. And there's just a lot of attention that you want to just keep building it and keep continuing it on.
Andrea, say hi to Kaner.
Hey, Kaner. I know fans see your camaraderie on the ice, but off the ice, it's great to watch as well. So my question to you, I know you've taken Panarin to some of your favorite places, but has he taken you for tea to the Russian tea room yet? Tea's very big with the Russians.
No, but I see him in the locker room every day. They kind of sit there for about 10 or 15 minutes with their tea and their legs crossed, and the two of them just go at it in Russian. So it's pretty funny. Sometimes I'll go over there and kind of joke around with them and cross my legs, and they just kind of laugh.
Pinky
who knows
up.
What they're talking about and who they're making fun of on the team, but it's pretty interesting to watch.
Azuka dite nushahi. That means stop by for some tea in Russian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know one phrase. It's divai, which means let's go.
I hope it means let's go.
We learned that. Anisimov told us that last
week.
Yeah,
that's right. He did tell us that last week.
What does it really mean?
Yeah, because that's the thing. The only thing is when Anisimov, well, not Anisimov so much, but when Panarin was in here, you know he was giving us words that were filthy.
Right.
You know, and telling us it was legitimate stuff. By the way, somebody told me puck is shaiba.
Okay.
So do you have to, when you scream puck, does he know what you're talking about?
Yeah, I think he does. I just say pass 88, and then he kind of figures it out.
And when he pretends he can't hear you, he just wants to shoot himself. Hey, your first landlord in Chicago got some good news today as Stan Bowman's contract was extended. No surprise, but I don't know how many people realize when you first came to town. Did you live in his basement?
Yeah, my first year I did. When I was 18 years old, it was actually great. Just to kind of get accumulated to the city and, you know, adjust to everything that the Blackhawks did and the way it was to be a professional hockey player. But I really enjoyed my time there. It was fun spending time with his kids and his wife Sue, and they really really took care of me when I was coming in from high school into the big leagues. So I got nothing but good things to say about Stan. He's a guy that over the year with all the roster changes and different things we've had to make after Stanley Cup runs and long playoff runs, it seems like this team continues to win. So he knows what he's doing. I think it's a great fit for the Blackhawks, and obviously, you know, congratulations to him.
It's got to be exciting for you to see him get an extension. Q gets the extension a couple of weeks ago. You and Taser just in the first year of your new deal. Seabrook extended. I mean, you kind of have that confidence, Patrick, that these guys are going to be around for a while, that you're all going to be together and you can keep this thing going.
Yeah, I think it's great. You know, the more there is change, I think the more things stay the same. So it's great for all of us. Obviously, you know, we talk about that core group of guys that help lead our team on the ice. Well, I think that's the same thing for off the ice with the organization too. You have those core guys. You want to keep them around. You want to keep them together because they've been successful, and you know they're not satisfied with what they've done. So I think it's great for the whole organization.
You got your old buddy Steger coming back with Carolina. The Hawks play Carolina tonight. What time is that, Dave? Is that a 6:30 start for us?
6:30 face-off.
And if you do what everybody else does online and just read the headline, you'd think Steger and Taves were having a fight. Because Steak said something about Taves being a big crybaby. It's just a joke, people. Right? It's just a joke.
Yeah, I think you have to. I haven't read that, to be honest with you, but I'm not sure exactly what he said. So I don't want to put any words in his mouth, but I'm sure coming from Steger, you know, he's joking around all the time.
He's a knucklehead.
He likes to pick on guys and mess around, so I'm sure it's nothing serious.
No, of course not. We have a question from Cynthia Scott. Again, the MB Financial Bank, Breakfast with the Blackhawks, says, any big adjustments needed since 3-on-3 came into the overtime? And do you prefer the old way or the new way?
You know what? The 3-on-3 is fun. It's been a blast. I think it's been one of the best changes the NHL has made. You know, a lot of open ice. I think sometimes, you know, I'll be at home on TV watching hockey games and just kind of looking around, searching for a game that's in overtime to watch that. So I think the fans enjoy it. It's exciting. It's really unpredictable what's going to happen. It's been a great thing for the game.
And you are a captain for the All-Star game coming up this weekend in Nashville, which is going to be 3-on-3. What do you expect this weekend?
To be tired?
It's a fun weekend. It's a good way to celebrate the game. You know, there's really not that much to be tired about when you're down there. I guess it's really a fun weekend. So
The 3-on-3 for the entire game. That's a lot of skating, right? I mean, Jaromir Jagr, who I think is 79 years old, asked people not to vote for him because he didn't want to skate that much.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's only a 20-minute game. I think
there's
three different lines. So it really won't be that bad, to be honest with you. So I'm just excited. I get to captain Taser for once in my life, so it'll be nice to boss him around a little bit.
Tell him where he's got to go. Well, it's great catching up with you, man, and congratulations on a just ridiculously good year. Stay healthy, because there's no end in sight. And one of the other things Panarin taught us, and I think this is clean, Nipuku Nipira, which he said meant good luck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. I could have said anything to you. I apologize if I insulted you.
you know as well as I do. So,
well, I'll tell you, you've been such a great influence on him, and I feel like he's elevated your game as well. So you guys are great for each other. But it's been nothing but fun for us. So stay healthy, man.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you being on. Patrick Kane, your Chicago Blackhawks. And how can he not be having fun, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, the way he's playing.
We didn't even talk about the way he's leading the league in scoring. And he's got a pretty – he's, I think, 15 points ahead now of Jamie Benn of Dallas. And I just wonder if he even looks every day. I don't sense that he does. I mean, maybe people are telling him, hey,
did Jordan look at his stats?
I think he did.
Yeah, I think if you're competitive, you do.
Yeah,
you look at the numbers.
Maybe you do.
Maybe it fires you up.
Because it's an indicator also.
Because I know, Kevin, I've talked to you about this. I lead the league in napping.
You do.
And I like to know my nap numbers on a daily basis.
Oh, you're leading all radio personalities in napping numbers this year. It's a phenomenal year.
Kevin got me into napping analytics.
Yeah, it's a new wave. All the kids are doing it these days. So. Yeah,
that's for the whole
Saber napping?
It's Saber napping.
Nappingreference.com is the website for that.
Yeah, so you can follow the numbers. And and that's where the whole MyPillow mattress firm relationship came from.
It's funny, he described how I feel when I walk into our meeting when you and Dave and Kevin and John are all sitting there with your legs crossed drinking your tea.
Yeah, that's
sipping
us.
Sipping it, pinky that's up. Us.
What do we say? What do we call it?
I got stuck on Nipuku Nikara.
Nipipi.
Nipipi Nipuki.
Yeah, I just want to say it wasn't me drinking tea because I am unable to cross my legs.
That's right. That's right. Johnny has someone come in and cross legs for him. It's 8:55. Traffic. Mary, what do you have?
When I gave myself to our true God, our one true God, Allah, that's when I finally found my freedom. Yeah. 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 The sky was truly blue. The temperature was right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm grateful for my freedom. Oh, yeah. And I want freedom for all of us.
Oh, yeah. That's Regina King. American Crime is back. Now, you watched... You were on this show, I remember, from episode one.
Yeah, I love it.
Felicity Huffman.
Yep, Timothy Hutton, Regina.
And Regina King.
Ugh.
Now, they're back, but they've rewritten the whole thing, right?
Yeah, it's the same cast. Pretty much all the same cast members are back, but last year that you just heard Regina, she played a Muslim woman fighting to have her brother, who was wrongly imprisoned, freed from death row.
Right.
And now it's the same cast, but a whole different story.
Which is so out of the box for Hollywood to have that kind of fresh thinking, to think you could rewrite the show with the same actors and to respect how great the performances are. Regina King joins us now. As you can tell, we're fans.
I appreciate you being fans. Absolutely. I'm like, let me just sit back and listen to them.
The cool thing is, and I mean this, nobody does this. Nobody takes a story that works and goes, blow up the whole thing, rewrite it, but we'll keep the actors. That's a big chance to take, and the producers probably deserve a little credit, huh?
I think the producers deserve a lot of credit. I think, you know, it's very similar to like a theater repertory,
yeah.
You know, where you are doing, you do the fall production, and then the spring production is something different, and the winter production is something different. Actors get really excited about that. That's why some actors never leave theater. They stay in it because they enjoy the reward of exploring something new each time.
And Regina, these are such hot button issues as well. Last season when it ended, I thought, oh no, because of how it ended, I wanted more. And now with this season, last season, race, of course, the big topic, and now bullying and rape.
Yeah. I think this season is even, it's something that more people can relate to because it's dealing with, I mean, at the end of the day, we all, majority of us have rape. Our feeling about rape, it really brings on a strong, you have a visceral reaction to it, and that's pretty much universal. So I think because of that, more people can relate to that, the violation and the disgust that comes along with that. So it's a little more accessible,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And when you're talking about teenagers and high school, protecting your child, protecting your family, that's also something that's very relatable.
And talk about the challenges. The challenges of your character. You went from playing a Muslim woman, very staunch supporter of your brother, to now kind of a socialite, trying to protect her son from allegations.
Well, I think one of the things that's really exciting and different about this family and seeing this family on TV is that, and especially Terry, which is my character, maybe not as much my husband, who's played by Andre Benjamin, but she's an elitist. And being an elitist does not have a face or a race. You know, if you're an elitist, that's just, you know, who you are. So for the family of power, the family that is affluent to be a black family, and for the matriarch to be an elitist, it's kind of unique to see on TV, but it is something that's reflective of people in our society. So that's been really exciting for me to tackle.
Being such big issues and controversial issues that need to be addressed, were you surprised at all of the raves and the support that you guys were getting? I mean, are people saying to you, this is unbelievable that you're addressing this?
Absolutely. Like every single day, there's not a day that goes by where someone is like, this is amazing. I am disturbed and amazed. And it, you know, a lot of people have kids that are preteens. So they're even more concerned or more, it's making their hearts beat even more than the parents that are teenagers, that do have teenagers, because they're actually living in this world right now. A lot of parents of teenagers have had some type of social media incident that's taken place where their child is either been the center of it or related to it, or they have a peripheral
It's in their world. They've got a relationship to it, whether they like it or not. And here's the thing about great art, great TV, because TV is so tangible, forces these conversations to happen and brings kids out so they can talk to each other about it, or maybe brings parents out to have the guts to talk to their kids about it and vice versa before it happens. So you're doing good stuff, Regina King.
Hopefully there's a discussion. Hopefully there's a discussion that takes place.
I hate to break it to you, Regina King. It's not just acting. You're actually helping people.
Well, that's a good thing, right?
Amen to that.
It's a good thing when you're doing something that you love and something even more powerful comes out of it.
No, she's a great actress, and by the way, she's hot.
Ooh.
Sometimes
I need to just have you when I wake up in the morning, just like, okay, let me turn him on now.
It's the Regina King self-esteem machine.
Yes.
Hey, I know you got to talk to some other folks. Go have fun, but thanks for coming on, and congratulations on the show. It's great.
Oh, I appreciate you guys. Love you, Chicago.
All right, come see us sometime at Regina King. And as I said, Andre, I got to give you credit. You were on this show from the moment it hit.
It's excellent. She is phenomenal.
She's really
good.
She's
an amazing actress.
Remember how good she was in Ray?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And how about Ray? How about Jerry Maguire? Remember Jerry Maguire? She played, what was the character's name? Cuba Gooding Jr.'s wife in the movie, but what was Cuba's name? I can't think of Cuba's name in the movie.
Show Me the Money.
Yeah, Show Me the Money. She was the wife in the movie. She's so good in that.
She's great. That's my baby. She's pointing at the TV. Yeah, she's a
tremendous.
Great. She just won an Emmy, and it was one of the first. It was the first time.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. Rod Tidwell. There you go.
Yeah.
Rod Tidwell's wife. Great was that. And of course that comes full circle. You know who was the owner of the Arizona team?
Bidwell.
No, well, not literally, Dave. The owner or the general manager, Glenn Frey from the Eagles, who just died.
Right. Yes.
Glenn Frey's in the movie. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, we tie it all together here. 919, back with more of the Steve Cochran Show next on 720 WGN.
Hello, Iowa! It's the Iowa Caucus Raucous with Andrea Dahlis.
I know. When you think punk music, you think Des Moines. Next Monday and Tuesday, we'll be live in Des Moines for the caucuses. And we'll be at a rally or two. We'll be at the caucuses. You're going to be running around. You're going to be on show with Ro and Anna as well.
Yes. And
they'll be out there Monday afternoon.
Yeah, we're doing a preview on Thursday with Justin Kaufman as well.
So okay,
we're kind of hitting all the shows.
All right. So today, you're going to teach us what?
All right. Today, we are going to learn about the Republican Party process and the Democratic Party process.
I like your band.
This is the Iowa State song. All right, so the GOP process. Now, Republicans use a private ballot, just like a normal election. These results will determine how many delegates each candidate gets for the next convention.
So that's more straightforward.
This is more straightforward. Now, don't confuse this with the straw poll. We heard a lot about the straw poll that was held last year over the summer. That is gone because of complaints it was a poor indicator of the most electable candidate. So the straw poll is gone. So the Republican Party process uses a private ballot. It's very similar to our primaries when we go into the voting booth and either punch the little ballot or draw the line across.
But you still go in, like you said yesterday, you have the conversations first before you do the ballot.
You do, but they're very brief conversations. The Democratic process is more complex. That's what we were alluding to yesterday. Democrats have to publicly announce their vote at precinct meetings all across the state. They congregate in groups assigned for their candidate. Then for about 30 minutes, the participants try to convince their neighbors to support the candidates. That's the example we gave yesterday when you were on one side, say you were on the Hillary side, and Dave would be on the Bernie Sanders side.
And Dave would be going,
just
hey,
hypothetical.
Come on over. Bernie wants you.
That's exactly right, because you can recruit supporters from other groups, and in particular from those who are undecided. For example, say John DeCoste was undecided. He would then visit each preference group to ask its members about their candidates. Kind of like an orientation, like a college orientation.
So if I was undecided, I could go from group to group to ask questions.
Yes, and they're really trying to rally you
over some amount of discussion period.
Yes, they want you to join their group. Now, after that 30-minute time limit, the electioneering is halted and supporters for each candidate are counted. At that point, the caucus officials determine which candidates are viable. Any candidate who has less than 15%, they say, bye-bye. You are not going to be counted. Once the viability is determined, the participants then have another 30 minutes to realign. And I say 30 minutes, that's really give or take. The supporters of the inviable candidates then have to find a viable candidate to support, join together, or just choose to abstain. They get to go home. That realignment is very crucial in the distinction of the caucuses, and that being a voter's second candidate of choice can really help the candidate. So yesterday I said the third place candidate, the person who used to finish third, they would think, oh, that's the place of doom. Not necessarily the case.
All right, but it sounds like the Democratic thing could take all night.
Yeah, then when the voting is closed, a final head count is conducted. Each precinct
that was almost a Dean moment there, wasn't it?
I know, sorry. Each precinct appropriates the delegates to the county convention. Those numbers are reported to the state party and then reports the results to the media. Most of the participants at that point go home.
And John, so you would be, John, you'd be on one side of the room and Bernie Sanders would try to convince you to join Bernie Sanders.
Do I have to cross my legs?
No, that's earlier in the show.
That's a
oh, then I can do different. I can do that.
Yeah.
Now, okay, from the top, could you explain it one more time?
I'll tell you one more thing. Iowa counts for only 1% of the delegates of the convention. They have 52. So really, why so much emphasis on Iowa? Because it's really a place where candidates can show their true selves. And if you remember, so many of those magical moments when they visit the state fair, George W. Bush eating the corn on the cob, President Obama eating, I think it was a fried Twinkie or food on a stick.
That circus on Showtime that I was hyping.
Yeah.
They had Ted Cruz looking through a kaleidoscope with crushed corn in it.
Did they really?
Yeah.
They had pictures.
And you got to look interested about everything.
Ted Cruz was flanked by all of the candidates from the queen of the Illinois, the Iowa State Fair.
Oh, yeah, nice.
So that was an interesting
thing. The force is strong with this one.
So you have to show that you care about what the locals care
about.
Right,
and that's where now Hillary, of course, was eating a pork chop and drinking her lemonade.
Right, so even if it's a crock.
Exactly.
And what's the big pizza place? It's not just in Des Moines. I think it's around Iowa.
Pizza Hut?
Steve, that will be...
Or Domino's.
No, it's an Iowa pizza tradition.
I don't know. I'll have to look it up, though.
That will be
I think it's Taco John's.
No, it's not it either.
It's not Taco John's?
That will be part of Friday's Caucus Rock.
Oh, you're going to talk about it on Friday?
We're going to talk about food.
But their candidates get in trouble because they go in and pretend to eat where the locals eat, and somebody got in trouble for
exactly.
that. That'll be on a Friday Caucus Ruckus?
That'll be on the Friday Caucus Ruckus.
It's a Friday Caucus Ruckus?
And, John, you don't have to crush your legs for that either.
28. All right, thank you, Andre, for Friday Caucus Ruckus. We'll come back at the big story coming up, and then Steve Dale will be in here in a little bit to try to adopt a doggy. And Dave will be here to do a Hawkopedia before Bill and Wendy get here at 10 on 720 WGN.
Hey, is this heaven? No. It's Iowa.
The Blackhawks!
Blackhawks Radio.
720 WGN.
Uh-huh.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Hawk.
Chicago.
Hawkopedia.
We may get a fracas here before it all ends.
A what?
It's Hawkopedia. It's sponsored by Fresh Wave, the official deodorizer of the Chicago Blackhawks, which I think we all know the Fresh Wave slogan. If it stinks in Russian, it stinks in English. Just ask Panarin or Kane.
That's right.
Is that the slogan?
That sounds
that's
right to
bad.
Me this time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty good. We'll roll with that one.
I think
today.
We'll roll with that. Yeah. All right. So what do you have, Dave?
All right. Thought we'd talk teeth.
Teeth.
Well,
T-E-E-T-H.
That's the word. We remember we talked to Coach Q yesterday about his own dental health after the injury to Andrew Shaw Friday night.
Do you remember what he said?
That he had a few rentals, as
right.
he put it,
yeah.
from his playing
I
days.
Said, are your teeth ever knocked out? He goes, yeah, I got a few rentals.
Yeah. Yeah, that actually, right. you just nailed it.
Yeah.
Quenville said that's actually the rule in hockey, not the exception. Of course, Andrew Shaw, Friday night, hit in the mouth by a puck on the bench in Florida. That injury required 18 stitches to close a gash on his lower lip, knocked out two lower teeth, which Shaw maintains he swallowed. He has since had replacements. And Blackhawks fans know all about it. You've no doubt seen the famous picture of a fairly toothless Bobby Hull. You know the picture, Steve?
Sure,
holding
course.
Up a puck after scoring his 50th goal in a game against the Rangers in 1962. And, of course, there was Duncan Keith taking a puck to the mouth in the 2010 Western Conference Final against San Jose when he lost seven teeth, four upper, three lower, and return to the ice, as Shaw did Friday night. Protective headgear has become more prevalent, along with mouth guards, which are highly recommended. According to Hockey Canada, the sport's governing body in the country which originated the game, 62% of Canadian hockey players have lost one or more incisors.
Well, of course, you got the hard rubber puck flying around all the time,
mm-hmm.
and your face is in the way of the puck. You're going to lose teeth.
But can you imagine before guys wore helmets, no. before they wore somewhere
the visors.
How about
before goalies wore masks? How are they dead goalies?
I know.
It's amazing.
It really is. It really is. But hopefully, young players are more careful. Not as many of them will end up with rentals. And that's our Hawkopedia for today.
Well done by you. We need a quick break before we talk doggies here. We have to go right to Steve Dale. Let's go over here to Steve Dale from the aptly named Steve Dale program. How are you?
I'm good. And very excited about Stan Bowman also. He and his wife are huge Rottweiler fans. I think they helped to rescue. And Stan is just brilliant in so many ways. So I'm glad he'll be back and not surprised. He is amazing.
Rottweilers have a similar image problem to our doggie today.
Yeah, from the Evanston Animal Shelter. This is a pit bull mix or a pit bull boxer. I mean, who the heck knows? It doesn't matter. This dog has a problem. Two problems. Number one, it won't stop smiling.
Yeah, it's
and,
a beautiful
and dog. Secondly, it needs a home. This dog needs a home. And from the Evanston Animal Shelter, which is they have a great event coming up, we'll tell you about. But Tanya is here.
Hi, Tanya.
Volunteer. Hello.
How long have you been at the Evanston Animal Shelter?
Just over a year.
You should go home, like, you know, see people.
Oh, yeah.
Go catch.
What brings you to your love of dogs and critters?
Always
been that way?
Yeah, definitely. So I started out with a little Pomeranian, and I decided that, you know, I didn't want to feed into this pit bull thing, stigma.
Yeah.
And the Evanston Animal Shelter is primarily 90% pits.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Lots of pit bulls in Evanston that need homes. And so it really helped me break those barriers, and it helps the volunteers educate other people that pit bulls are not what you hear they are.
So at some point in time, you actually yourself thought – you were kind of worried or nervous or scared?
Oh, yeah. I fed into that just because I didn't know any better. And then when you spend even one day with them, it's amazing the difference it can make.
And so what do we know, Steve? We know pit bulls, Rottweilers, German Shepherds, Doberman Pinschers, all these dogs that have bad movie images. There's a lot of bad people
That's
in
true.
The world filled with good people.
Okay. Yeah.
So there's going to be – look, there's bad collies.
That's true.
Right?
That is true.
There's bad whatever breed, your breed here. It's just pit bulls in particular and Rottweilers to some extent have gotten this image that they're bloodthirsty killers. It's ridiculous. Yeah. I just made out with this dog 5 minutes ago. This dog is great.
That dog loves you.
I have video of that, and that's kind of worrisome. But this dog loves everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
And is available. So let's describe the dog. About how big is this dog?
Sure. She's about 60 pounds, about 6 years old. You know, bigger than your normal little dog, obviously.
Full grown?
Yes, she's full grown.
So it's a very muscular. So you think of a pit bull in your head. This is a very muscular dog.
Yes.
Big neck, big head, kind of a tan and white color.
Mm-hmm.
This is the prototype for what they call the pit bull breed, but it's not a breed. It's really a mix of dogs,
yeah.
in truth.
And
yeah.
by the way, this big, strong dog is wearing a red sweater with hearts on it.
So
yes.
cute. Friendly dog.
Oh, my God.
She's breaking barriers. I mean, we've had her around everybody. She's our kind of go-to dog to show to people.
An ambassador?
Oh, yeah. She is an ambassador of both boxer and pit breed.
So she looked out the window before, Steve, as you were about to go on, and there was this man, as people do, standing and watching us on Michigan Avenue, and I thought, she's going to bark at the guy. What she did was she belched.
No, she burped at him. Hey, how you doing?
Kind of rude, but nevertheless.
No, not rude at all. But in her defense, she had just taken a sip of beer.
What? Didn't share it with me.
Just a touch.
So here's the thing. It's not only that this dog's got two strikes against it, which are ridiculous, but one is that it is a pit bull type dog. There's no way around that. And secondly, 6 years old. But for an older, not a 95-year-old person, but a 60-something-year-old person, kids are out of the house. I say not a very elderly because a strong dog,
yes.
you know.
Yes.
By the way, you can see the dog on the video stream, too.
Yes.
If you're at WJNRadio.com and you click on watch.
Yep. Might be a really, really good choice for someone whose kids are out of the house. Is this dog, by the way, okay with kids?
maybe older kids, just because she is so strong, older or even younger kids that have had experience with bigger dogs, she'd be fine.
Younger kids who want to ride her around the house, maybe not so much.
You just about could.
No, yeah. She needs respectful people. She respectful children.
Mm-hmm.
She is calm, though, and she probably
likes people.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
she came in and just was totally chill with everybody.
She's a lover. Yeah,
so that's, yeah, that's the other thing. So this is not a dog. This is a dog, certainly, that can take long walks with you, but it's not a dog that's going to play frisbee disc in the backyard for 3 hours, just in part because the dog is 6 years old and just a muscular dog that just isn't going to do that. This dog, I think, would rather have a warm fireplace, nice glass of wine, and chill.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Her favorite spot at the shelter is under the office desk on a bed, just sleeping. And she just loves to hang out.
But you guys are making her sound like she's grandma.
No,
she's
really
active.
No, she don't.
I mean, this dog's been, you know, this dog is not looking to nap right now.
Oh,
she's
having
a good time.
She does. We take her for mile-long walks.
I'm not
the
sure you want to give this dog up. I think you're going to miss her.
No, we are. She's our favorite. You know, we have a very stressed-out kennel right now, and she's one of the easier dogs. So we're going to miss her, but she deserves a home.
Or at least a foster, if not a permanent home.
That's a beautiful
dog. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what do we need to do to get this dog adopted?
So what is the place? There's an email address.
There is an email address. It's EASadoptions@gmail.com. And you can also visit our website, evanstonanimalshelter.net, to see her amongst other adoptable dogs. And, yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
And I know there's a big event coming up at Evanston Animal Shelter.
Yes, the Evanston Animal Shelter is throwing a gala on February 6th.
All the dogs will be in their finest formal wear.
From 6 to 10, and it includes a wine cocktail bar and a cheese bar and chocolates. And there is a silent auction with amazing, amazing gifts like trips and things for your animals, of course.
This is the only way shelters can raise money. And if you live in the community or care about animals just like this and can't adopt the animal, another way to help is simply to come to this event. Again, it's February 6th. It's at 7 o'clock at the Noyes Cultural Center, 927 Noyes Street. That's right near the L-Trex, I think, in Evanston.
Yep.
And a good online way to stay connected with this information is what?
The Evanston Animal Shelter, .net, or Evanston Animal Shelter, yeah.
I think you were right.
Yes, I am right.
EvanstonAnimalShelter.net.
Yes.
Right.
And it's
right.
All online, and there's a special tab for it. You can get all the information.
Right. Indeed.
A couple more questions for you before we go?
Yeah, I would love it.
We'll come back and catch up with Steve, and we'll get this dog adopted. We also have a reminder from John DeCoss on his new pointless video he's had to do his YouTube channel coming up before Bill and Wendy at 10.
Hey, John.
On 720 WGN.
Let the dogs out!
Steve Dale's here. When are you on the radio?
Sunday morning at 6:30 with in a week or two or three with Steve Grzanich, who's fallen in love with this dog. We hope you do, too.
Yeah, the dog's great. And again, on the video stream at WGNRadio.com, click watch, and you'll be able to see. The name of the dog again is?
Camille.
Camille. Camille. Kamal Sauce and Pfeffer Incorporated. That's something else entirely, I suppose. All right, so here's the deal, Steve. There's a lot of people in the studio who are pet lovers who may have questions. John, do you have a question for Steve about your two dogs?
Actually, not about my two dogs, but my sister has a 4-year-old standard-sized poodle male that they never had fixed. And I'm always mad that they never had him fixed. What's my argument?
It's probably a bit better for his health. How old is this dog?
4 now.
4 years old? I mean, if the dog... Listen, part of the issue is owner responsibility. So if this dog were to get out and meet a hot babe... And you know how poodles are. It's very likely. I know where poodles hang out. So then we have a problem.
Poodles can be slutty, Steve. I think that's your point.
That's what I'm trying to say in a very nice way. Yeah. And if this poodle were to get out and meet with a little chihuahua, then you have a problem on two levels. So I'm thinking it's probably wise. There's no, you know, and there are health benefits. Now, there are more health benefits for female dogs than male dogs, in truth. But I still think it's the right thing to do if they're absolutely responsible or if they are breeders who know what they're doing. That's another story.
Right.
But there's no point. I mean, why wouldn't you?
Okay, will you drive with me to her house right now?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Yep, happy to go.
Can we wait till the show's over?
No, I'm on go
right
now.
All right,
right now.
Sorry, John.
Right now.
I'm out the door.
Dave, a question about your little doggy in any way, shape, or form. Well, are all the other wild creatures wandering around your backyard?
No, but you know, I will ask a question about my grand dog.
Okay. My grand dog just spent a couple of days in the hospital.
Oh.
And she's a little over a year old. She was...
goiter? What do we have going on?
Vomiting. Mm. It couldn't keep anything down. They I guess, got her hydrated. And she's okay, but she's sleeping a lot now, very tired.
Mm.
But they couldn't find anything wrong.
She doing a morning show?
You know what? It's the napping.
Everything
it's,
you're
it's
describing sounds like a morning
thing.
Show.
Yeah. Any ideas? Any suggestions?
Oh, no. You know, I'm not a veterinarian. I'm a behavior guy. So I can. And you know what? Even if a veterinarian were sitting here, it's just not enough information. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be the dog is just stressed out from the veterinary visit altogether, and that's why the dog is sleeping a lot. I don't know what normal for this dog is. I don't know what the blood work looked like. You need to talk, or they need to talk with their veterinarian.
Okay. Well, I feel better having talked to you, though.
I doubt you really do. I am excited, though, speaking of behavior, because I'll be talking with Dr. John Sarabas, who's a veterinary behaviorist, February 7th at Narnia Pet Behavior and Training. He is speaking about a problem that it seems as though we are seeing more often than ever before.
What is that problem?
Separation anxiety, where folks leave the house and leave their dogs behind, and then the dogs have such distress where they are destroying their house. And if you watch YouTube videos of this, it'll break your heart. So what can you do about it? And that's part of what we'll talk about. I will talk about it, what anxiety really looks like in dogs and many misconceptions and myths that are out there. It's February 7th that we're appearing. All of the proceeds go to Pet Rescue. For further information, info@asoundbeginningprogram.com.
And do cats go through separation anxiety, or they don't care when we come and go?
No, we actually see this in cats. We don't see it nearly as much as we do in dogs.
Right. So when a dog's flipping out, the cat just looks at the dog and goes, "God, you're such a dick."
Yeah, the cat's ordering pizza. The cat really doesn't care.
Go cat.
One more plug for Evanston.
We actually have a special code for listeners, a promo code for the gala tickets. It's Pet World for $50 off a regular VIP admission.
Wow.
Yep, so come on out.
Steve Dale, the human discount code.
So how do people do this again?
It's through the website, so evanstonanimalshelter.net. There is a gala tab. You just click it, and it'll take you directly to where you can buy tickets. We are a non-kill shelter, so all the money goes to either, taking them to training, behavioral stuff.
Or medical care.
Yeah. Yep.
And give me the code again. I want to write it down.
It's Pet World. P-E-T World.
Never heard it before?
No, I haven't. Yeah.
It's Steve Dale every Sunday morning. What time?
6:30.
All right. Thank you, guys. And thank you to your new dog, because one of you are going to adopt this dog, and we're going
Steve,
to call you
one, one more thing to you, and I know you deflect this sort of thing every time I say it. First of all, congratulations with the ratings. I mean, it's amazing.
Thank you very
much.
But
above and beyond that, you have been responsible for breaking radio history. When I first started with the idea, and I said, adopt pets on the radio. Radio? What do you mean? TV, yeah. Radio?
Get it done.
11 of the 12, by my count, this past year.
And it turned out the 12 was a thief. That's the only reason it didn't happen. 9:57, Bill and Wendy next. And John is doing a YouTube channel. You guys should be talking about this.
Everybody's talking about it.
Because of all the crap that's on YouTube, this is more of it. And
yeah.
And what's on there today?
We've got 4 new videos on there today. So you just go on YouTube and search for Today Into Cause. 4 new videos of everyday stuff that I'm doing. It's incredible.
It's just as meaningless as the stuff you can find anywhere else.
It's actually more meaningless.
Yeah. We're pretty proud of it.
Yeah.
We should be proud of it.
Yeah, you know what I was thinking also? How much wood could a Bill Left chuck if a chuck wood Bill
Careful.
Did it?
Careful.
I think that could be one of the new videos.
Okay, Dean.
Yes.
Could be another new video.
That could be. Can I tell you what I like most about your show, Steve? Do you have a minute for me to tell you what
spice?
I like about... Well, that's up there.
Yeah.
That's second or third.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I like most about you, Steve, and the Steve Cochran Show is diversity.
Yes.
Can I prove my point?
Prove your point.
Today on the Steve Cochran Show, you had the business reports done by Steve Alexander.
Yes.
You had the news done by Steve Grzanich. Now, Steve Bertrand was there to back him up, but Steve Grzanich couldn't do the news. But that's who did the news. Who was your guest? Steve Dale.
In the past,
you've had guys like Steve Martin, but Steve Dale came through.
Right.
Who would advertise in a show like that? Well, how about Steve Abernathy from Square Trade? Diversity is
really
the key to your show.
And that show is hosted by me, Stan Cochran.
Stan Cochran.
Stosh.
What chance do guys with weird names like Dave or John or I have to understand a
limited,
show like that?
Limited at best. There's no question about it. Tomorrow, even more Steves.
I hope so.
Yeah, we're having a whole meeting at 10:30 today talking about how many Steves we can book on the show.
Can't wait.
What are you doing?
I don't have a single guy named Steve on the whole show. I'm embarrassed to tell you. There's going to be a little bit of everything on today's show. We're going to talk about
Bertrand just cleared his throat.
There's Steve Bertrand, except for Steve, of course. Steve Bertrand. I apologize, Steve Bertrand.
The good thing about Bertrand is he won't hold a grudge.
I know. I know. Now I have to give him taffy if I want him to do the news. And Taffy's husband gets furious when that happens. We're going to talk about the town hall meeting.
Poor Taffy.
Last night, the Democratic town hall meeting, so Kristen McCreary will be on, and we'll discuss that with her at great length.
Okay. And are you committed to Bernie Sanders yet?
Yeah.
Or any of the other Muppets?
All of them.
Okay.
Every one of them. I'm voting for all of them.
We'll be back tomorrow with another broadcast called The Steve Cochran Show. I'm Steve Cochran, host of the Steve Cochran Network. We now return you to regular programming.